Stand by for the interview with Bishop Kanko. Good morning. Welcome back. Welcome. I guess this may be broadcast on Spirit Talk Sunday, so that's where you're going to hear it. And what you hear in the background is a tune I'm working on that just sort of came in out of nowhere. And it really, what I was thinking of when I was composing it is the idea of going on a 40-day fast like Jesus in the desert. But if it were me, I think I'd be going mad and seeing visions. And I had this this kind of Middle Eastern drum. Anyway, that's another thing we do here. And I think it sets the stage for a very special show. That's the one thing I can say about this today. It is... it is a show that's going to really, I think, sharpen your perspective, and especially sharpen your perspective with respect to your walk in Christ, and just understand that we are in a battle. We're in a battle that is 24/7. It never ends. And I'm just reading over my guest, Bishop Kanko, Vagalas Kanko, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I've got a lot of questions for him. His testimony is outstanding. You've heard Pat Holliday. She's been my guest. And describing Bishop Kanko as a fourth-generation witch doctor family, he had been a practitioner, and he was delivered out by the almighty power of God. He was chosen by the Lord to be a leader in his community, to help bring people to Christ, to bring a nation to Christ, I would say, and help us bring the world to Christ. At times it seems like we're losing the battle, doesn't it? Well, all I can tell you is that the battle is already won. The Lord does not miss any who are his. He doesn't forsake us. He will never leave us or forsake us. All will be completed perfectly. That's the faith I have. I know this. At the same time, I've got a job to do that he's commissioned me to do, but I'm not going to sit there losing sleep and strength, worrying that I might not do it okay. So many of us have this issue lately, and we've been dealing with that. But without further ado, let me just go ahead and bring in Bishop Kanko right now. I guess we're on line one. Hello, Bishop Kanko.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well. You have an amazing story here.
Thank you, to the glory of God.
Yes, your life is a great testimony, and what I can say about it is just from knowing Pat Holliday and seeing, I mean, are there many witch doctors that actually, and wizards, I guess that's what you would say, that have actually been delivered?
Yes, we have, by the grace of God, through the power of Jesus Christ in Africa, there is so much revival. So a lot of witch doctors are getting delivered daily, mm-hmm. because the power of God has hit Africa. And there's so much revival, and by the grace of God, people are getting to understand who yes. Jesus is. And so they know that Jesus has the greater power. And so, by the grace of God, we see the witch doctors, and then the wizards and the witches coming to the Lord daily. Mm-hmm. That is really exciting.
It's very exciting. I just get the sense that your ministry is really vital and alive.
Yes.
You must be horrified with America. I'm sorry to bring that up, but let's face it, that's the elephant, and as we say, the elephant in the room at the moment. You know that that our churches have gone to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a shooting at one church that where the pastor was had to quit. He was head of the American Evangelical Association, had to quit because of a sordid affair and thing that he got involved in, but I was given to prophesy to them. I said, just getting rid of him isn't going to solve the problem.
That's right.
You know, and I said, if you got to shut this church down and cleanse it and then bring it back or bring another church back, better. You know what I mean? That was the word I had for them. Well, they ignored it. And then yesterday, tragically, two people were shot at this church.
My goodness.
And so I'm saying, you know, and instead of saying, gee, maybe something's wrong with us, they're still going on like, let's all come together and, you know, and pray some more for God's protection, I guess. Anyway, that's something we're dealing with as Americans because it's all over the news today. And we have two churches here. We have the Invisible Church, which Pat Holliday and I are members of. And then we have the outside church, which has gone to the devil.
That's right.
So Pat Holliday told me that you told her, and I'm going to check this out right now, that some of these witch doctors in Africa, they're afraid of people here, of Christians. They say some of the Christians are very, very powerful wizards.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, the day you receive Jesus Christ into your heart and he becomes your Lord, all the demons and all the witches should normally fear you. You should have power because you have Jesus.
Ah, yes.
You should have strength because you have Jesus. But so truly, those who are walking in the Spirit, the Bible says they are the sons of God. And such of these that the devil is always scared of them because they know what they know and they know what the Spirit of God can really do. But those are always walk foolish. The devil always laugh at them, and anytime they want to destroy them, it becomes very, very easy. So, yes, like I'm saying, if you are spirit-filled, then you are guaranteed that, no, you can never be touched by any powerful witch doctor
or wizard,
yes. Well, so it depends on you. So it depends upon the Christian. The Bible says we lack knowledge. It says my people perish for lack of knowledge. So it depends on the individual Christian. But above all, Jesus is Lord.
Yeah, Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You were a wizard.
That's right.
Okay, now let's just, for the audience's sake, what is a wizard? Let's define, what does that mean?
Yeah, a wizard is somebody who leaves his body and then go out doing things for Satan. Some of the things that he does is that he manipulates people, he kills people, he puts sickness and diseases, he puts curses, he makes sure that people's lives are backwards. He makes sure that people will not have the skill to serve God. He prevents people from knowing God and coming to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Such people is classified as a wizard because wizards, we leave our body and go out and do things and after that come back to the body. This is a high class wizard. So basically when you want to identify or to really know who is a wizard or a witch, is someone who has the ability to leave his or her body and do things for Satan. That is what we call witches or wizards.
Okay, so a lot of that has to do with traveling. I suppose, you know, we could call that the astral plane.
Right, that's right.
And they go into that rhino, and they can, in other words, they can travel by way of that and then go into someone's house, let's say. And while they're sleeping and do something bad to them or hurt them.
You're right.
Or cause them to be, enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's a lot of slavery with the occult. It seems the occult, the whole system that Satan has is based on slavery.
That's right. You are right. Because you don't do this out of your willpower. The moment you leave the body, you become controlled by a higher spirit. And then you are, like I said, you are slaves to them. Whether you like it or not, you got to follow the instructions that you have received from Satan. So, yes, in a nutshell, you become a slave to them, and they use you and let you work for them. Then eventually, if God does not intervene, they will destroy you and then kill you. So, you are correct. Mm-hmm.
They go to destruction, and that's what we've seen with, my familiarity is not so much with African wizards, but with Western wizards like the famous Aleister Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
Aleister Crowley, of who wrote all the books, and he was so proud of himself, and even the Beatles put him on the record of Sergeant Pepper to say that, you know, that here's their hero, and all that. Well, he went to destruction in this life.
That's right.
Before his death, he was impoverished and sick, so sickly he couldn't feed himself or get up out of his bed, and he died in poverty and utter shame.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I said. They will use you, destroy you, and eventually kill you, waste you away.
Okay, and would the reason for the killing be, you know, you get old, you're not good to them. Once you're no longer of use to them, then, of course, there's no loyalty.
They just
spit you out.
That's right. That's right.
They use you. When you're done, it's thank you. I'll take a fresh Kleenex now. In other words, you become garbage to them.
That's become garbage. It's a vegetable. Yes.
Oh boy. So many people in the world today, just seem to love this occult. They love this new ageism. They love these, you're running after Eastern, gods. You know, that was happening in America back in the 60s because they were tired of the corrupt churches, so they went to the East. And you say something in the first chapter of your book where you say basically anything but Jesus, whether it's Pan, Krishna, Diana, Thor, anything, all these gods, there's one person behind it, that's Satan.
Yes. Yes. Do you know why the people go and search for these things? You know, human beings always want to be protected. Mm-hmm. Human beings always want to be self-sufficient in terms of finances, in terms of businesses,
yes,
in terms of connection, in terms of long life, in terms of protection. And because of these things, people tend to forget that protection, the real protection and the real wealth and the real comfort is for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So they in turn travel to seek these things outside the Word of God. And in trying to seek these things, they come into contact with Satan himself. And then Satan will now come into their life and deceive them and pretend as if he's going to protect them and give them peace and wealth. But at the end of the day, it becomes a deception. If you don't discover it in time, there's no way when even you know that you have been deceived, you can come out. Because all those guys who are in court, their soul is in the hands of Satan. So a lot of them will want to come out, but they feel it's too late now because if they mess up, Satan will cast out their life. So basically, the reason why people are and go and search for these things is for protection, for businesses, for finances, for right connection, for right this, for right that.
Mm-hmm.
But they have forgotten that the perfect and good things, good gifts, come from only God.
Yeah.
They have also forgotten that promotion does not come from either south or west or east or north, but come from God alone. But you see, anyway, if your eyes are not open to these things, it becomes difficult for you to even recognize it. So initially, people go there, but when they go and they reach a particular place or a particular point, they see the fruit, and it becomes a bit late for them to return. And that is where misery comes in. That is where fear comes in. That is where so many things comes in. So if you don't discover a man of God who understands these things, to be able to tell you how to come out and go through deliverance and break away from the past and separate yourself from them,
yes,
you wouldn't survive. Even you'll come out in a door, but they would eventually kill you. So a lot of people are so much afraid to even come out because they're not even sure that if they come out, they'll be able to live.
Yeah, they believe, I deal with that quite a bit. People believe that if they come out, if they walk in that Jesus won't protect them.
That's right.
So they don't take the chance.
That's right. That's right.
Because they don't. It's a leap of faith, isn't it? I mean, as they say, we have to, we can only walk by faith. We can't have insurance like an insurance policy ahead of time. We have to actually have the faith and then do it. And so we don't have a safety net. I mean, that we trust that Jesus is the net and he's the safety net. But I've just found that people, when they really love the Lord, what happens is that they're happy to live and happy to die.
That's right.
They're happy to suffer. They don't try not to suffer. They just say, well, I'm chosen. It's an honor to suffer for the crucified one.
You're right.
You know, but that's more sophisticated. That comes later when one's faith is built up enough so they understand the value of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, your family background, Bishop Kenko is my guest, folks, and you've heard all about him. We probably should bunch these episodes together with Pat Holliday or this talk today with Pat Holliday's talking, because we did so much talk, and I'm going to be leading into some things that we talked about with her regarding the sea and the spirits of the sea. But first, Bishop Kenko grew up in what would be just a poor African family in Ghana, and he says in his book, quite typical poor African family in Ghana, which... let me just take a quote from the book. And the book, my friends, is, what's the title very quickly? Cause I don't want to lose my place here. I'm in the book now online. What's the title is, Witch Doctor and the Man Finds Jesus Christ. Bishop Kenko, Vagalis, is that it?
Vagalis
Kenko with Pat Holliday, PhD. This is a book you can get also from Pat's site. Now let me get back to this quote that I have prepared here. It's, I did not learn about witchcraft like some people because I was born into it. I grew up in that atmosphere of darkness. That is, my family worshipped idols. Likewise, they were witch doctors, witches, wizards. Because we did not know God, whatever anyone can think about, we were involved in it. That is what we knew. As a result, my grandfather and father did not know anything about Jesus. They had never stepped into a church. Spiritually, they were bound by the idol they were serving. It was my family duty to take care of the idols and their sacred food. Bananas, these were bigger and better than the ones in my... Well, it goes on from there about bananas and mangoes. Now you're getting me hungry here with that. So you were in an atmosphere, and also I would just imagine that in your town or village, everyone was into the same thing.
You're right.
So I ask you, if Satan is supposed to give you riches, how come your family was poor for generations?
That is what the devil. That is what I tell people. The devil is a liar. He's a deceiver. Because the true riches come from God. Yeah, so a lot of people have been asking me this question: how come we were poor? If he can give riches to people, how come that we were poor? You're not the first person to ask this question. They asked me this question when I was in TBN. They asked me this question when I was in Sid Rock. And then Atlanta 5667 TV. The problem is that in order to discover your wealth, you need to identify yourself with Jesus. Now, if you are outside Christ, you tend to believe everything that the demons will tell you. You know what they were telling us? They said, look, they have made us rich to make people rich. In other words, we don't have to touch the riches, but ideally, give the riches to people. It does not make sense.
Mm-hmm. No.
It doesn't make sense.
No, if they can get you to do the work for nothing, that's even better.
That's right. That's even better. So they'll say, you are already in the riches, so you don't need to be rich, but you need to make people rich. So it means people will come to you. And then they will perform all kinds of sacrifices, human sacrifices. And then the spirit will go with them, and the spirit begin to vomit money, etc. So they say, you don't need to be rich because you are already rich, but the people that come to you must be rich. But you see, by so doing, the people are bound to that demon. They are bound to that demon.
I see.
And they will continue to pay homage and to recognize the authority of that demon in their life forever and ever. So they are loyal servant of the demon because they are bound because of what they feel they are getting from the demon. So the trick is that to get people to be bound and to be loyal and then to be dedicated to a demon. So he releases these spirits to the people, and then you bring your loved ones to be killed, either your father, your mother, your brother. Then somehow the demons will be vomiting the money, and then you'll be taking the money and thinking that you are rich. Now, by so doing, you'll always be faithful, and you'll always be fruit and bound to those. So that's how he was able to got the whole town, the whole village, the whole city bound to himself because his so-called promise of wealth.
Promise of wealth, the promise that never materializes. But
it never materializes, right.
We have a lot of people in this country, believe it or not, they're in the same bondage. And here's the thing. Some of this is generational, where they, like in your case, where they have generational family demons, and they only rise to a certain place in society. But this idea of human sacrifice, the idea that one would have this insane idea that their life is somehow worth more than some guy they can just capture and kill.
That's right.
It's no problem because I'm going to get money for it.
That's right. That's right. Not probably right. Or like power, like those who are seeking for the senators and the president and then the governors. That's what they will do. They will do everything to get it. They will go and get some guys, and then let me get some guy, kill him, and I become the next president, the next governor, the next mayor. Then I can be on top, and I'll be sitting on power. You see, there are all kinds of things. You see,
we talked about that on a show with several guests about how they were aware they were in the Satanism. And whenever there was a politician, he needed to get votes or whatever, they would arrange a human sacrifice.
That's right.
And then the power would be given, I guess, mentally. Everyone would just, or through their will, give it to the politician so that he would win.
That's right.
And this goes on in this country as well.
You see?
And it goes on all over the world.
Yes, all over the world.
But that's what I always wondered. How do they choose their victims to sacrifice, and how do they law enforcement must be involved in it, because how would someone get away? That would be murder.
But you see people getting missing. It's not for missing for just missing. These are the guys who catch them. You know, their children are missing, the kids are missing. You open the TV and some people are lost. They can't find them. The kids are missing. These are the kind of things that they used for these type of rituals.
So they have like people that do the dirty work that are kind
That's
of
right.
above
yes.
the law.
Yes. They do the dirty work.
They just bring the kids.
The whoever they would be able to capture and send it. You don't come back.
Right, and then I guess the younger, the more innocent, preferably a virgin would be. Ideal, and then
that's right.
Or a baby even, and then they go ahead. Well, we have the. I mean, this is terrible. I believe that human sacrifice is Satan's core.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a core ritual.
That's right.
Bloodletting, and then of course there's all the sexual aspects to it, but that's not the real core of it. Is bloodletting?
Bloodletting. That's right.
Okay, well, then, and that's horrific. Well, it's even more horrific, folks. Bishop Kanko is my guest today from Ghana. He is was fourth generation in his family. They did not know the Lord. And we're going to get to his testimony in a minute of just exactly how he met the Lord and what that encounter was all about, which delivered him. And remember, in these villages, in small towns and villages, you can't just go accept the Lord and say, okay, I'm done with you guys.
No.
You know, I'm done. I don't need you guys anymore. I got my own thing going on. I had a similar thing. They felt they had control of me, and I just through the Lord, through God's power, he just walked me out right through the midst of them. Just like as Jesus disappeared in their midst, I went the same way. And I just rely on him every single day because he works. I wouldn't want to rely on these people. They stab each other in the back.
You're right.
All the time. Well, before we get into your testimony, there's something leaping out at me right off the page here about demonic forms. You say some of these demons can be the size of, and I'm jumping around here, I realize, but I'm just kind of letting the Spirit guide me and just trying to find the right, the heart of this interview. But that these demonic entities can be as little as microscopic mm-hmm. entities, or they can be as big as a building, you say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I never heard that before.
Yes, because I work with them directly. Like the smallest demon that you can find in the kingdom of darkness is witches or wizards. They are the least. Very small, very tiny. Mm-hmm. But look at the havoc they are causing. You know, so some of them are very tiny and some of them are very huge. And because of my personal encounter with them once I was there, I was able to describe them and then know the activities, their work and their dealings and what they do and what they are behind it sometimes. So because of my personal encounter with them, I'm able to describe them and to tell you what they exactly mean, what they do, who is behind this, who is behind that. You see, so it's a whole lot of things there. And that's why the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, mm-hmm. but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, and against spiritual wickedness in the higher places. Now, if you don't have an idea about these things, you just run it over, read it, and you not even pay attention to it. But the Ephesians chapter 6, 12 through 13 has actually described the hierarchy of Satan, the kingdom of Satan. He says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It is actually described the hierarchy in the kingdom of Satan, because all the opposing forces, all the negative forces, all the evil spirit is being controlled by Satan himself. Now, after Satan, the next in command is what we call the principality. What it has said in the Bible. When after the principality, the next in command is what we call powers. Then after powers, the next in command is the rulers of darkness. And after rulers of darkness, then the one follow is the spiritual wickedness in the higher places. And my brother, I have worked with principalities. There are only four in number, just four. And
wow.
And one principality, my brother, one principality controls 50,000 demons plus numerous uncountable evil spirits for destruction.
Oh.
And they are just four. One principality. Powers are eight in number. Powers, they are eight.
Mm-hmm.
And one power controls 20,000 demons plus numerous uncountable evil spirits for this destruction. Now, between principalities and powers, they don't work the same. Now, principalities, they are the planning committee. They are the architect of all the evil things and negative things that happens in this world. They make sure that they design it. They make sure that they strategize it. They make sure that then when they finish, what they do is that they hand over everything that they have planned to powers. Now, powers, they act as a law enforcement agencies. They enforce the destruction. They make sure that whatever they have planned and they have achieved, it comes to pass, whether we like it or not, unless we pray. So powers act as policemen. They enforce the destruction. They make sure if they want to destroy the whole of America, principalities don't destroy it. They plan how to go. They can plan with Katrina. They can plan with fire.
Wow.
They can plan. Then after they have finished their planning, they hand over every document, everything to powers. And what the powers do is that they will make sure that there is fire.
Uh-huh.
They will make sure that there is wind. They will make sure that disaster strike. You see, so when you get into they are very loyal to Satan and they are very, very efficient. That is why they are working. They are loyal and very, very committed and very, very efficient. Now, the reason why it even worse is that apart from the spiritual being that I've mentioned, Satan has his human agent lives with that. You understand? He has his human agent living with us. So the human agent help the spiritual being carry out the activities of Satan. That is why it becomes easy for Satan when he wants to destroy. Let me tell you how the 9/11 came. Now, the second heaven is where the spiritual wickedness in the higher places are. The second heaven is where all the space programming and all the demonic computers are being set up. When you talk about psychic computers, that is where it happens.
Psychic computers.
Yes, psychic computers. That is where it is. And then if they want to destroy America, yes, what they do that the higher agents of the higher agents of Satan, like the Muslims, like the occult, they say let's teach America lesson. So they will now send a petition to Satan in the second heaven. He inhabits in the second heaven. Now Satan will take this petition and invite them, and they will give them the reason why they want this destruction to go on. Now, after they are able to convince Satan that, okay, this is the reason why we want this conviction to go on. When I was in my last meeting in 1976, my last meeting, that was the world meeting. I represented my father, and one of the topics that came up was that America is becoming too dictatorial. So they were going to find a way and means to break their wings, to break their anchor. That was 1975.
Wow.
Yes, that America was becoming so strong because Soviet was the devil. I mean, Russia. Because you couldn't preach Russia at that time. Right. You couldn't send the Bible. So, so far as Soviet Union is concerned, they don't have problem at all. But it was the Americans who were really, really getting on their nerves. So at that time, 75, 74, 75, it was mentioned. So and let them tell you how they get the destruction comes very fast.
So America, in a sense, was successful, and the reason why it's going down now is because of the decadence and the turning away and rebellion toward God and having...
All these things are manipulation.
Bishop, this gives permission then to the demonic powers. In other words, you have to give them permission to carry out.
That's right. Yes. But you know what? They will bring false preachers. They will bring forth. You don't know how they work. They will take their time. They don't mind if it has to take them 40 years to plant false churches, to plant false preachers, to plant false prophetess and prophet, to plant false Jesus. And they will also make sure that in the churches, they dilute the true word of God. It will be gradual. At the end of the day, the church will accept everything at all. That's why in the book of Jude, they said, ungodly man has crept into the house of God. This, they don't do it at once. They have time. And so over the years, they will gradually introduce a lot of things in the house of God and water down the principles of God and the word of God and force the church to accept anything. So if you go to churches, people can now put earrings and go to church, do their hair and go to church. Now we have gays who are pastors. We have gay who go to church. You see, these are the kind of things they started in 75. They will gradually. So at the end of the day, they would eventually take over. And what they do is that they also empower their people with money. And so in 1975-74, they decided that they are going to empower homosexuals with wealth in order to be able to attract people at the top TV stations, the top radio presenters, the top TV presenters, the top actors and actresses, the top this, because they empower them with wealth, because they know that if they have wealth, they'll be able to, yes. So it takes time. It's gradual manipulation. It takes time gradually. It takes somebody who have the Spirit of God to be able to discern and know what is happening. Else, they will take you by surprise. They don't rush. It's a gradual process. They can decide to say, we are going to use 10 years or 100 years to achieve our purpose. And it will be so.
Well, you know, there's in this country, materialism being a celebrity.
That's right, you see.
But a celebrity. They worship the celebrity here. It's so out of control now, Bishop Kanko, that at this point, we have to say that barring some huge intervention of the Spirit or some huge catastrophe that would allow people to be witnesses who would live and then they would be on their faces before the Lord and say never again. Unless we have something of a catastrophe of biblical proportions, we are going to go down and off the cliff in America.
Yes.
That's my prediction, because we've gone the way of materialism and we've gone the way of worshiping the created rather than the creator. We worship anything for power. We go to sex for power. We go to hurting other people for power, making them feel bad, giving them shame. You know, just insulting someone because it makes you feel better. That's a form of Satanism in a way, you know. But it's gone so far now with the churches. Like I said, we have churches that have a rule, or they have rules to not be conformed to Christ but be conformed to the world system.
And
this is the norm in America. This is normal. Now it is so pervasive that, I mean, I can tell you that most of the churches that we have checked out, there's a policy that if you don't actually conform to the world and be, you know, a worldly person to get along, they will get a restraining order on, for example, if Elijah showed up. Okay, he's like one of the righteous dudes. So let's say he shows up. He would have a legal order not to enter the church.
My goodness.
And if John the Baptist showed up, or if Jesus himself showed up, they would crucify him. That's where we are today. And then they wonder why they're suffering. Anyway, I can see it because I'm, you know, separate from all of it. But if you're in it, you can't really see it. Unless unless the Lord separates you, you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, because you're in it. You can't see. And then when you go around talking what you see and telling people what's going on, they say, oh, Bishop Kanko, you're so hateful.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
I mean, can't you be a little more loving?
Yes, yes.
You know, and can't you cut these people some, I mean, we're all sinners, Bishop. We all fall short of the glory of God.
Yes.
How come you're, you know, why are you so, every little thing you're on it, like that could be a doorway. That could be a doorway. You know, you even say in your book here that was co-written with Pat Holiday, that you've got to be careful with even fashion, because even the latest fashions have, you say, these demonic principalities. The latest fashions have demonic powers on the clothing.
Yes, because Molech is in charge of fashion.
Molech?
Molech is a demon, is in charge of fashion.
Fashion, oh, wow.
Yes, you see? And you see, and if you speak the truth, they don't want to hear. You see? Uh-huh. They don't want to hear because they don't want to repent. You see? So it becomes difficult. You see, a woman of God like Dr. Pat Holiday, this woman is so pure and so honest and so faithful.
Yeah.
And any time he opens her mouth, he speaks the truth. And you know what? Because he speaks the truth, nobody wants to do anything. But they will regret one day. The day the Lord will call this woman, people will not begin to know who she is. By that time, she's gone. You see, so it becomes very, 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 very sad that such a woman is in this nation, and they don't even want to hear what she says.
Oh,
she's so pure, she's so holy,
yes.
She's so faithful and dedicated, and they don't even want to hear him speak, and it's sad. And you know what? Like I said, I know that before they will run to her, it may be too late, because God will eventually one day call her home. That is the time that people would realize, their eyes will open. You know, so my God, what did we do? You see, so the evil and the perversion and then the materialism has covered the eyes of the people to the extent that they can't even see. They always want to support the wrong thing. They always want to support the popular thing. They always
wrong.
Want to support the ungodly.
They're all always wrong, too. I mean, once if you don't have Jesus and you're not yes. being led and you're going by your own understanding rather than being, yes. by being led by the Lord's yes. guidance, you're always, you're always wrong. At least with the Lord's guidance, you're, because we're not perfect vessels, we wouldn't be perfect, but most of the time we'd be hitting the right choice.
Are you right?
Because he never lets us down, and I just want to emphasize to people, and emphasize to you that, you know, all this is fascinating. Bishop Kanko knows an awful lot. There's more. We could do a whole series of talks about different kinds of demons, demonic anointings, inherited curses, where they are. That we're going to get in a minute to the spirits under the sea. Well, let me just ask you this about the sea: is there a kingdom under the sea?
Yes, please have a whole city under the sea. Eyes, natural eyes, cannot behold it, but it's. I have never seen a city where it's organized and well arranged, mm-hmm. beautiful, like the sea, the city under the sea. I tell you, when I was there, I did not have opportunity to travel the world. But after I became Christian, traveled extensively throughout the whole world, mm-hmm. and I'm yet to find an organized city, a city that is well organized and well arranged and well laid. And the beauty, I've never seen some before. Very beautiful. In fact, in 73, 72, 74, I have seen a computer working in under the sea, the city under the sea. When you get there, everything that they'll tell you, it is computerized. Your name, your everything, even when you want to drink water, they will just have to press on computer, and the computer will just bring the water, pour it in, and serve you. I saw this way before. Computer become very, very popular in the natural realm or the physical realm. So it's, and that is where I learned all the demons and the activities. The demon in charge of speed and accident, Gog and Magog, the demon in charge of...
Well, let me ask you a question about, is this city, obviously, are people in the water, or is it, is there an opening where there's air? I mean, how?
It's a spiritual thing. Unless you turn into a spirit, unless you're a witch, a wizard, or something, you cannot. It's under the sea, and natural eyes under the sea, you see water. But when you get into the spirit, you will see that it's not water; it's a city. You cannot behold with your natural eyes.
I see.
That's right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Right. So, but these spirits under the sea and their computers, they keep track of people here on the surface.
That's right. That's right. They know who. You see, they manipulate people. A lot of the superpowers. Before you can become a president, they'll have to approve from under the sea, because missionaries, the missions are there, mm-hmm. The laws. So you cannot enter into that if you are not a part of it.
Well, I know this, that with what we do here, we get a lot of interference. We get a lot of attacks on our computers.
Mm-hmm. We get a lot of damage, yes.
A lot of physical, I mean, stuff that's really unbelievable that no one would believe. That my partner Frankie, who's the computer architect of our broadcast network, we have four streams and four servers and all these things that he has to keep track of. And he's seen things, well, for example, when certain guests are on, And this one, folks, we are pre-recording this because Bishop Kanko's schedule, but you will be hearing it live. We'll be commenting on either side of the interview. But, for example, when certain guests are on, we get a message that says, server overheated, like meltdown of our server. Only when a certain guest, and then when the guest is over with, it goes back to normal.
Yes.
No, there's no way. And this server is in another state, several states away from us.
That's right.
And there's no explanation. We've had thing after thing like that happen where there's no explanation that makes any sense whatsoever, except it's demonic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's another power. Can they see? Here's another thing. I've got so many questions and limited time. So Can when we accepted the Lord, my wife and I were harassed by UFOs at one time,
mm-hmm.
or throughout time. You know, each of us in our own way. And I found out early on when I was 16 that the UFOs were tied in with the satanic cult that was trying to get me to be initiated into the cult. And I found out that these UFOs were tied into it. When I found that out, I said, no way. And then, of course, they tried to kill me, which was just, no, it's horrible. No one should have to go through a life like this. Was not the Leave It to Beaver life that we would watch on TV, let me tell you. But anyway, so these UFOs were, and finally, kind of got to a crescendo of activity in the 90s. And what happened is they would like hover over the house. One of these beings got inside. Well, anyway, it triggered memory of satanic abuse in my own life and other kind of memories. And they were just, there was a consciousness that they were always around. But when we came to the Lord and when I had my experience where Yahweh himself, the Father, just lifted me up and he was looking through my eyes and just changed everything. That it was literally unbelievable, just the power that I experienced there. They never bothered me again.
Oh.
Is when you are in Christ, really in Christ,
mm-hmm.
really a servant of the Lord, really his son, his daughter, mm-hmm. Is this true that these demons kind of lay off you then? I mean, we do get attacks, but I don't get the like I say, this UFO. What are the UFOs? Just go there with it.
Yeah, they are a kind of cult that's bind people together and then use them at the right time, the time they want to use them for. And so when you refuse the initiation and you come out of it, what they do is that they follow you for about 5 years.
They do?
Yeah, they follow you for about 5 years to see whether they can track you back. And finally, if they realize that they cannot track you back, they may even assign a spirit to be tormenting you, not to reside in you, but to be holding an area of your life and to be making sure that that area will not do well.
It's true. It is so true that certain parts of your life, employment, whatever, it doesn't matter how talented you are.
That's right.
All your talents, you can work your butt off getting somewhere with you. Of course, you shouldn't covet your talents. You should just give them to the Lord and say, okay, then you use them. You know, I can't make it here in the world without the Lord. And the Lord finds a way, but that's what I finally had to come to, that the talents that I had were not going to be used unless I changed my mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Well, this is something I've known firsthand, and no matter how hard you try, the world's door is slammed shut. Mm-hmm. And I say, hallelujah.
That's
praise
right.
The Lord. Thank God it's slammed shut, because who wants what they've got? Slavery, ruined lives, death. Well, tell us, Bishop Kanko, about your experience when you came to Jesus. How did that whole revelation take place in your life, and what happened?
You see, after the death of my father, that is a long time ago, I literally took over because I was trained and groomed to take over from, because I'm the first born boy of my father, and we succeed our fathers. So one day I have gone to a club with some people, and then around, because you couldn't say come to Jesus, everybody knew who I am. My father is, everyone know that we are so dangerous and so powerful that if they joke with us, we may destroy them. So even the Christians, mm-hmm. were really afraid of us. So nobody could say Jesus loves you. So we've gone to this club, and around midnight, around 12 o'clock to 12:30, I had an unusual stomach upset. So I decided to come home and come to sleep, and then I'll get up and do whatever I needed to do. So when I laid down 12:30, 1 o'clock, that fateful day, I don't have any activity with anybody. So it's like a holiday for about 5-6 hours. Because when you are working for the devil, you are allowed to only rest 2 hours. But that day, I'm supposed to rest about between 4 to 5 hours. Then when I lay down between 12:30 to 1, between 2:30, I heard the voice. Now, in Satan's kingdom, you do before you complain. You do before you complain. Whether it is your time to go and work or not, you do before you go and complain. Then they will explain. So when I heard my name, I said, but today I don't have any assignment. But nevertheless, that is how it is. You do before complain. So I started contacting the East. Normally, when you hear these voices, the first thing you must do is to contact so that they will give you signal and give you instruction. So I signal East. Nobody was there. I went to the West. Nobody was there. So I became a bit surprised because it has never happened. It has never happened. As soon as you, the first contact, you receive some instructions from them and you just carry on. East and West, nobody was there. I went to the North. I went to the South. I went to the Middle. Everything was shut down, quiet. Then I started panicking. There I knew something strange has happened. I knew I'm in trouble. So what I did was that I went back to bed again. Then around 3:34, the voice called me again. I got up. You know, I don't know Jesus, so I don't know the voice or the difference between Jesus and Satan. I know only one voice. So I spoke. I said, I have done the contacting, but nobody seems to give me any signal. That is why I went back to sleep. Then he says, go take your bath. And that is where I realized that something has happened, because we don't bath. I mean, assignment or performing your duty as agent of the devil, cleanness is not part of it at all. Mm-hmm. So for me to go and bath, it came as a surprise to me. But like I said, you do before you complain. So I obeyed, went to pat my bath. That was on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Then when I finished arguing and finally went to have my bath and dressed up, it was about 5:36. Then he told me when it is 7:38, I should walk to Assemblies of God Church. I said, my God, we don't fire by day, we fire by night. Because if you fire by day, the natural laws of the land will take care of you. So we don't do by day. We don't matter physically. We matter spiritually, then it comes into physical. That one, nobody can even trace it. But why do you want me to go to these people? These people are the people who are really always fighting against us. And why do you want to go? They says, go to Assemblies of God. So there too, I resisted a bit. So around 8 o'clock, there was a very big, heavy hand at the back of my pants, raised my two legs and started pushing me into the church. Now, what I realized that it is different was that when I came out of my room with that hand pushing me, I heard all the demons hooting at me. Whoa, 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 shame. They were hooting at me. And that is where I realized that what is happening to me is different from what I know. When I go to the church, to my surprise, they were worshiping God. When I go to the church, to my surprise, they stopped worshiping God. They said, we are going to do warfare, because they believe that somebody has come to challenge the power of God. I mean, there's no way I'll go to church. I mean, there's no way I'll go to church. They know. They know my grandparents, my father, they know. So they said, no, let us be wise. Let's begin to bring the fire of God upon any spirit, any power, any human agent. At that time, I was really suffering. What was happening to me, I cannot explain it. So I sat down, put my head on the table, and the people were raining fire. And I tell you, it was hot, but the hand was still there. I could not get up and go out. I was glued to the seat. Then after some time, the preacher said, okay, we have really prayed for God to take control. Let's now bring the word. I was still, my head was still down. After the word of God, he says, okay, whoever wants to receive Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, God is so faithful. God is so merciful. I saw the hand raise me like this from the chair, push me into the front. When I got to the front, the preacher man said, hey, take care. Don't come and deceive anybody. I mean, they didn't believe. They said, hey, take care. Don't get close. Don't get close. Don't get, stay where you are, and don't come and mock God. God is not to be mocked. Meanwhile, you have invited us to come and speak Jesus.
Wow.
You know what? So because they were surprised. I mean, there was no way I would teach it. They were so surprised. Then I told them I want to receive him. So I lifted my hands, and then I said the sinner's prayer. Say after me. I did it. I said the sinner's prayer. And then after that, they prayed for me. I went back to sleep. I went back to the sit down. Then when we closed, I went 12:31. They said all members should stay. Visitors, you can go. So the hands raised me up again, pushed me, and I could see that they were praying where I was sitting. They were actually casting demons and breaking and curses and everything. Now, when 2 o'clock I got to my room, the hand pushed me into my bed, and the door was locked. I fell asleep. I did not see anything again. When I opened my eyes, it was about 12:30 midnight. Then somebody who has a pounds of crown on his head, the blood was oozing, the hand was full of blood, the face was blood, and when I saw it, my jaw got locked, so I couldn't scream.
Wow.
Then he was there for about 2, 3, 4 minutes, and he disappeared. So the following morning, I got up and told the pastor, I said, I saw a man. I said, I didn't kill any white man, but I know I have killed. I know I have killed, but here, all of us are black. I have never tried to kill anybody who is white, but this man is full of blood looking at me. So the pastor asked me, what did he say? I said, he didn't say anything. So he prayed with me. He says, go. So I forgot about it. The following morning, the following night, that night, I went back to sleep. 12:31, he appeared again. My jaw was, I can't say because my jaw was locked.
Mm.
He showed it to me. The following morning, I said, the man has come again. Please, can you beg him for me? I don't remember killing any white man, but can you beg for me? And the pastor laughed. We prayed again. Then on the third day, listen to what he said. On the third day, when he appeared before me, this time he spoke, and he spoke English. He says, for this reason that I went to the cross, that your sins can be forgiven.
Yes.
Now, all what you did has been forgiven.
Amen.
Now, I will remember it no more. But I want you to now go to my churches and tell them what you have seen and tell them what you did and tell them what the enemy is doing and expose them so that they can be saved and delivered, because I am coming very, very soon. As soon as they finished, I got up 12:31. I went to the pastor. I said, today the man has spoken. The man has spoken. He says, what did he say? So I told him what I told you. So we prayed. And then he says, okay, then from this time, keep on praying. Keep on studying the word. Now, what happened was that when I became born again, my eyes were still there. I had 15 eyes. I can see from my back, from my sides, everywhere. Now, the eyes were there, and my heart was like, it was hard as stone. I didn't feel any pain for anybody. If somebody's hurting, I rejoice. If somebody's crying, I become excited. If somebody is really hurting, lost a loved one, and is really hurting, I begin to rejoice. So when I got born again, all these things were there. So I remember my few days in church, I nearly caused confusion. Because I'm going to seek Jesus. Then you will see witches and wizards also coming in church, sitting there. Then I'll tell the pastor, pastor, this woman, this man is a witch. Then pastor will tell me, look, it is gradual process. Don't tell anybody that they are witches. I say, but I see them. I say, we know. Don't tell them don't tell them.
I got a few churches to take you here. We could go travel around the country and we could, you know, clean it up around here. Oh, boy. So anyway, you had this amazing deliverance is going on, and you're telling people what's going on. Now you're at the church, and because of your own background, your own life and generations, you say, well, wait a second. There's witches in this church, Pastor.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
I don't have to behave in such a manner. I said, well, so it took time before all the eyes were plugged out. It took time for me to feel for people when people are hurting. It took time for all the demons in my spirit to leave. It took about 2 years to 2.5 years for all the wrong stuff in my body and myself to just go, come. Mm-hmm. 2.5 years. I got born again. It took 2.5 years for God to purge me and purge me well, sanctified me, yeah, and then push me into the front and say, now you can speak my word. So it was Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, Demon Shakarin. They came to Ghana and they introduced this kind of Full Gospel. You know, Full Demons in my spirit to leave. It took about 2 years to 2.5 years for all the wrong stuff in my body and myself to just go, come. Mm-hmm. 2.5 years. I got born again. It took 2.5 years for God to purge me and purge me well, sanctified me, yeah, and then push me into the front and say, now you can speak my word. So it was Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, Demon Shakarin. They came to Ghana and they introduced this kind of Full Gospel. You know, Full Gospel, they don't preach. They only give testimony.
Right.
So they told him, oh, then we have a guy who has amazing testimony. If you don't preach and you only give testimony, then we know that this guy's testimony will blow your mind. When the first day demons heard my testimony, he got from the chair and sit another chair, got up again, sit another chair.
Wow,
got up again and look at me and sit another chair again and say, my God.
Now you preach the word of God, you speak the word of God, you walk, yes, in the spirit, you you're a leader in your country, you have,
yes,
a big church.
Not a big church.
Lots of people are coming.
Yes, a lot of people are coming.
Oh, praise God. Well, you know, yeah, what? They've lived under the yoke of that slavery so long, they deserve it. When they recognize it, I'll bet some of them just drop everything and run to the cross.
That's right.
And just, they're so happy to that there's finally a solution.
That's right.
Well, you see, right, okay, so Western folks, what's wrong with you? Run to the cross. Well, you know, funny, a friend of mine said he was going to start an outreach program for pastors to help them become born again.
That's right.
He said it didn't go over too well.
Oh.
No, it didn't. It wasn't too successful. He said, wait, I want to help you get born again so you can really just drop all this witchcraft and all this garbage you do here and get on with it. But anyway, it's truly amazing. We only scratched the surface, folks, in this hour.
You're right.
And I hope, can we have another talk before, you know, well, you don't, it doesn't matter where you are, we could call you. But, I mean, can we have a follow-up?
Yes, to this? Yes, we can do that.
Okay, I would love to do that because the whole thing about the sea and that people don't really understand, a lot of the creatures they think are terrestrial are really in the sea and they're coming out of the sea and they're human beings in these cities, and there's also a spiritual city underneath the United States,
mm-hmm,
that Bishop Kanko knows about, and we can't really get into that right now, but but a lot of people think there's an underground here, something underneath America,
mm-hmm,
and I'd love to get into that at another time, but
okay.
I suppose you and Africa would know about that in America, because if you have a background in wizardry and all that, you can see all the countries.
Oh yes. Now, when we do the further up, I'll pull out some interesting things.
I see. So you can, So and then now, of course, walking in the spirit, we know all things that the Lord wants to show us. So
yes,
there's nothing really hidden. Look, the main warning and the main thing about Bishop Kanko is that we cannot even dabble or even get close. And even with unbelievers, we have to be careful as well. We have to really cherish the gift that was given us and protect it.
Yes.
And I think that's, is there a possibility that people could get sucked back in if they're not careful?
Yeah, is there?
Can people get tied back into the occult if they're not careful?
Yes, it's possible. Yes, if you're not careful, you can get tied back in the occult and witchcraft, everything. Because, you see, he's still looking for those who is gone to come back. So if you're not careful, he will pull you back. He will tie you back again. So we need to be careful by studying the word of God, going into the word, and practicing the word, and allowing the word of God to rule us, And that is the only way. We have to abide in Jesus, and he also will abide in us. That's all.
So if
you're not careful, you can go back.
Okay. Bishop Kanko has been my guest. Bishop Kanko, thank you so much for being here. And Trish is going to get you right now. Go ahead, Trish. And he is amazing. What an amazing. I just can't get it all fast enough, folks. There's a lot more to go. Maybe we could do a follow-up with Pat Holliday. You have no idea the things that I wanted to get into that I just didn't have time. So I just bid you farewell for now. If you're hearing this on Spirit Talk Sunday, we did run over a little bit. Stay tuned for the next hour. Stick around. Stay right there. Zeph Daniel here. Welcome, WBCQ. Welcome, everybody. And we'll see you on the next hour. Don't go away.